Normally, I wouldn't think anything of a tweet that reads, "What a beautiful fall day." But when that tweet comes in August, it's a little disconcerting. Yes, okay, it's been gorgeous, a little cool, sunny, breezy. But with temperatures over the past few weeks dipping into the 50s, it's hard not to think about the bigger consequences. The Union of Concerned Scientists recently said that if climate trends continue, Michigan agriculture will be harmed. And that's really a big issue when you consider that agriculture is the state's second largest industry. Philip Robertson is a professor in the Department of Crop and Soil Sciences at Michigan State University. Professor, welcome.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Jim Byram, president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. Welcome.
Zoe, a pleasure to be with you.
Here's what we know just to set the scene. Obviously, the world's climate is changing. That is impacting weather patterns, which is, of course, impacting the way that we grow our food. What impacts are we already seeing here in Michigan? Philip Robertson, let's start with you.
Well, we've seen a number of climate changes over the past few decades. And if we think about climate change as having two different components or two different kinds of climate change, we can think about well-behaved climate change, which is change that is relatively predictable, and then what I would call ill-mannered climate change, which is the unpredictable episodic part of climate change. And the well-behaved change includes things like warmer average temperatures. We've seen about a 1.5 degree temperature change over the past 100 years or so. 1.5 degrees doesn't sound like a lot. You know, you're not going to change your sweater weather habits based on that. But it means, for Michigan farmers, longer growing seasons, which primarily means earlier springs. We've seen about 15 days of more frost-free time in Michigan summers. Means more temperate plant hardiness zones. That is, the plant hardiness zones are more like Indiana used to be. And then we have the ill-mannered change, and that is the kind of change that keeps me up at night. And this is an increase in the frequency of extreme events like heat waves and droughts. We're seeing an increase in the number of heavy rainfalls over the past few decades. That also means, with no change in total rainfall, longer dry periods. And we've also seen more heat waves, more days greater than 95 degrees in the summertime, but also wintertime heat waves have been more frequent. We've seen a lot more winter thawing in the past few years, and there's a couple of good examples of how that has affected Michigan agriculture, particularly the fruit crops.
Sure, we saw the cherry crop in 2012, 90% being devastated. So, Jim, help us understand, what does all of this, as Philip just explained, what does that mean for the food that's being grown right now in Michigan?
Well, I think Phil gave a good overview of what climate change implications are for the state and what kind of things we see. I think it's also important to realize that being surrounded by water in the Great Lakes either increases our susceptibility to the good things or the bad things on both ends of the extreme. For example, Lake Michigan, I understand, just flipped over here a couple days ago, and we now have water temperatures on the eastern shore, which would be the western shore of the Lake Michigan for the state of Michigan, that are in the 40
degrees.
So we have all sorts of things that impact production agriculture. The positives are that we're seeing what I refer to as production further north. There's corn and soybeans being grow there further north in the state of Michigan. However, there's other downsides that we have to recognize, and Phil got into a little bit on the ill-mannered effects of climate change, and I think it's important to recognize that those bad effects, if you will, those challenges, are the extremes. This past winter caused us in Michigan to plant crops later than normal because spring didn't warm up as we would have expected it to. Phil indicated we've had, and we agree, normally about a 15-day longer growing season. The irony is this year, we're going to have probably about a 30-day shorter growing season. What we're seeing is variability. We're seeing variability. We're seeing severity. We're seeing increased frequency of severe storms. And that's causing farmers to try to create some resilience to some of these effects. So the challenges for some of the specialty crops, especially, as you see variability in weather, that causes some challenge for them because they operate basically in what we call almost a mini environment, like the cherry crop in northwestern Michigan or southwestern Michigan, the dry bean crop in the Thumb and Saginaw Valley, even the sugar beet crop in the Thumb and Saginaw Valley. They have to be planted early, perhaps the end of March into April. This year they didn't get planted till May. So as we look at specialty crop challenges, those may be more intense than for some of the traditional commodity crops that we're more familiar with.
So help me understand then, for farmers who are dealing with this, I mean, right now, are they being reactive, realizing that the weather patterns are changing and changing either how they're growing or when they're growing? Or are some farmers actually starting to sort of be proactive and looking at different crops and buying land further north?
Well, that's absolutely the case we're seeing. We're seeing production move north. We're seeing some farmers in the traditional production areas buy land up north. We're actually seeing some agribusinesses, some of those that supply fertilizer and crop protection materials to farmers, actually create more facilities in the north or even handle grain in the north. And that's a direct reflection of the impact of climate change. So farmers, as I mentioned, more irrigation, more drainage. In terms of changing cropping systems, there's actually some of that that happens because I use the dry bean industry as an example. Michigan used to grow about 90% of the navy beans grown in the United States. Then over the past 20 years, a lot of that industry moved to a North Dakota, Minnesota, the Red River Valley. And even today, that industry is moving into Manitoba and Saskatchewan, which is purely a reflection of the changing climates in both of those areas, which does directly impact cropping systems.
We seem to all hear about climate change, be very worried about it, reading headlines about Michigan's crops. I mean, but you're both making it sound like, okay, you know, climate is changing, we're adapting, we're going to be okay. Is that true?
Zoe, that's a great point, because we're seeing in our industry and production agriculture more disease pressure, some additional insect pressure and weed pressure. Sure, there's short-term some what could be viewed as positives, like, hey, longer growing season, I can produce more, yields go up. Yeah, I can manage some of the issues of rain and drought. The challenge is we're seeing an increased pressure of what we call invasives or non-traditional pests. In one crop that's pretty near and dear to us, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, we never sprayed a fungicide, never really had a disease problem. Today, it's a huge issue. Now, we're seeing that across the board in some fruit and vegetable crops as well. We're seeing weeds that are coming into Michigan we haven't seen before, and insects. I mean, the bug populations, you've seen some of those B-52 mosquitoes this year. You can just appreciate that we're seeing some things blowing in here on the wind from the south that are living that didn't used to.
So how badly will Michigan be impacted compared with, let's say, more southern states?
Well, as the climate changes, as Jim mentioned, we're going to be seeing production push into more northerly areas. And so given that we're in the northern part of the Corn Belt presently, many of our field crops will not be immediately adversely impacted because those crops are already growing well in warmer climates. One thing that will affect Michigan in the larger sense is that we have a very diverse agriculture in Michigan, the second most diverse in the country after California. And as a result, the climate changes that we see are going to affect different parts of agriculture differently. While the field crop growers, the corn and soybean growers, for example, to some extent the sugar beet growers, will be able to adapt in the short term, that may not be as easy for the fruit and vegetable growers who face special challenges with respect to wintertime heat waves, for example. And so specific industries may be, specific parts of the agricultural industry may be much more affected than others, and that localized effect could be quite extreme.
Well, yeah, I think it's important to note that climate change is also causing dramatic impacts on markets.
Mm.
For example, 2012 crop production, the Midwest had a huge drought. That caused prices to go up, corn and soybeans, et cetera, food prices. This year, it's projected we're going to have a terrific crop, which is causing prices to go down, at least commodity prices, not necessarily food prices. But the swing, if you will, that's actually brought about because of the extremes and the severity of extremes is a risk mitigation issue that farmers are going to have to really pay close attention to.
Well, finally, in the last minute or two that we have here, let's look ahead. I don't want any of us to sound too hyperbolic, but I do want to look maybe 50, 100 years. And are we talking about that one day we could actually be growing things like cotton in Michigan?
The one thing that impacts production systems is, of course, infrastructure. And I don't think we have cotton gins that'll be in Michigan anytime soon.
Okay.
But what we are seeing are severely taxed transportation infrastructure systems. For example, we'll grow corn here and soybeans here for a long time, but are we going to grow corn and soybeans in the Upper Peninsula? There is absolutely no infrastructure up there to handle that. Will there be in the future? I'd suggest yes.
Yeah, so we do have a lot of adaptation tools in the toolbox, and these include, as Jim mentioned, a few of the different crop varieties and different crops, irrigation, at least until groundwater depletes, more intensive pest management, frost protection systems, and animal cooling systems can all contribute to adaptation over the short term. Over the long term, looking 50, 60, 80 years out, we can probably expect to see some new varieties, new crops being grown in Michigan that perhaps aren't being grown today to the same extent. Over the lifetime of the farmers who are currently farming, adaptation will probably be the rule. And most of those adaptations, while they won't be painless and they'll certainly affect operating costs, they will probably be achievable. Over the longer term, next generation out, we may be seeing a very different farming, perhaps more akin to the farming that is currently occurring farther south in Kentucky, perhaps even Arkansas in 100 years, absent any efforts to rein in the factors that are causing climate change.
Philip Robertson is professor in the Department of Crop and Social Sciences at Michigan State University, and Jim Byram is president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Quite welcome, Zoe. Thanks.